Okay, welcome everybody to this meeting of Central Cape Lands County Council. Thank you for your attendance. I'll declare the meeting open. In opening the meeting, I'd like to pay my respects to the traditional custodians of this land on which we're meeting, the Wiradjuri people. Pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and also acknowledge any First Nations people who might be present at this meeting or listening to the audio recording of this meeting. This meeting will be recorded and the recording will be available on Council's website within 2 weeks of the meeting. Moving on, item number 4, apologies, an application for leave of absence. I think, Mr. GM, we have all councillors present, and I should note that Councillor Cook is present by audio visual means, and other councillors are all present here in person at the Darryl Sligar Centre in Blaney. Item 5, confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. They have been circulated. It's a meeting held on 22nd of June. Move those minutes, yes, Councillor Rawson, second, Councillor Ewan. Those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. Are there any matters arising from the minutes anyone would like to raise that's not otherwise dealt with on the agenda? If not, we will move on. Disclosures of interest, do we have any disclosures of interest?
We don't, Mr. Chair.
Nothing. Disclosures of interest, public forum. We have no public forum, I think, Mr. GM. Chairman's minute, we have no chairman's minute. Item 10, councillor representation. For my part, I have nothing to mention since the last meeting of council. Other councillors have any representation they want to record?
No.
We will move on to item 11, notices of motion. Have we received any notices of motion?
No, we haven't.
No notices of motion. So we'll move on to the substance of the meeting, the reports of staff. Item 12.1 on page 3 of the business paper. Both Councillor, payment of expenses and provision of facilities policy. Our recommendation is that the policy be adopted. Someone like to move that. Councillor Ewan, second, Councillor Best. Any questions or comments on this item? It's been on public exhibition without comments being received. I'll put that, those in favour.
Aye.
Aye. Carry, thank you. 12.2, page 4, of Government Annual Conference. The recommendation there to endorse the attendance of the chairperson, Councillor Lynn, and the General Manager, who have been registered. Someone like to move that. Councillor Ewan, Councillor Best, thank you. Any questions in relation to this item?
Yeah, I've got one. I thought that we were all supposed to have been asked, but I don't remember being asked about this conference.
Okay, I sent you an email to all the councillors.
Well, I looked at the emails too, I couldn't see anything, but anyway, I just thought it'd be brought up today.
Yeah.
And, but not that I want to go, like, I would have gone probably.
We can still, the registrations are still open, it's just an early bird.
Yeah.
Time is.
Yeah, but it costs a lot more money. No, it's okay.
But if you'd like to go, that's, yeah.
No, it's okay. I just missed that email somewhere.
There's sort of, interest from the councillors in that period because we won't have another council meeting while the early bird registration period was open.
Yeah.
And, I sent an email out to all councillors requesting interest. I know Andrew replied back saying that he would like to go, but couldn't because he had other commitments.
Yeah.
The deputy chief as well.
Yeah, I would normally have gone, but I was happy to pass it on to someone else. And then you emailed back saying that Councillor Cook was interested, so.
Yeah.
You must have missed all that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not saying you didn't send it. I'm just saying I missed it.
Yeah. So if you'd like to go, there's still money in the budget to register. If you'd like to go, just let me know. And,
all right. Yeah. Thank you very much.
It's worth, I think it'd be worth going either via Cabon or via CTW. I think it's worth going because you went to the one earlier on in the year, the sort of one without a sink. Yeah, and I thought it was excellent.
Yeah, I'll just have a think. So I'll just have to keep more of an eye on my emails.
Well, in any event, the resolution is only to endorse the action of the general manager in taking the registration for three people.
Yeah.
It doesn't restrict our attendance to just three.
Okay.
So I'll leave it.
Yeah, just leave it there, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any more comments on this item? If not, I'll put that as in favour.
Aye.
Thank you. 12.3, application for leave of absence by the general manager. Someone like to move that one. Councillor Rawson, second here. Councillor Cook. No, that's...
Please.
Everyone the opportunity. General Manager's apply for leave perhaps the 21st September and 30th September. Any comments in relation to that? It's not on.
No,
that's what I thought. I'd
like to know that. It's not there on the staff.
You're interesting.
We're heading to Melbourne for the week for the most important event of the calendar.
Oh,
not that my team is going, but experience.
Good experience. Who will be?
I think Geelong and Melbourne.
You really think so?
Maybe Sydney.
You don't think the Swannies will get it?
I don't think so, but could be surprised.
What about the Tigers?
Oh, they're playing well, but they've got a tough road to get there. So.
Okay. Yeah. Take your word for that. Enjoy your holiday.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for stepping up, Peter.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Peter.
A couple more jobs to do.
Just while we're on this item, I should mention, I've spoken to Gavin, that when Gavin gets back from his leave, we need to settle the performance agreement for Gavin's contract for the first year of the new contract. I've spoken to Grant Fleming and to Gavin about this. We thought it'd be a good idea to have a workshop, all councillors, to settle the initial performance agreement. Probably the end of October after the conference, maybe early November. So I just flagged that now, we'll follow that up offline.
Yeah, that's okay.
Any more comments?
Well, I just made a comment just in there, we're talking about leave and what have you. I'd actually be absent at the October meeting.
Yes.
So I'll put in a leave of absence for you to put into the meeting on that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'll just give you a heads up on that.
Thanks, yeah.
Sorry.
Councillor Ewan. No more comments, those in favour?
Aye.
Harry, item 12.4, organisation structure change. Recommendation is that we move to a full-time appointment for the governance and executive support officer. Someone like to move that one.
It's really just noting the change because that's operational, surely.
Yeah.
So this is just noting the change.
Noting the change.
Yeah.
Noting the change.
So which is the full time budget. So yeah, straight away I'll just say thank you.
Yeah.
As in for notifying us about that.
Yeah.
Because it's not up to us to make that decision.
No, but it's also there's funding there. That we need additional funding from the approval from the council.
Yeah.
As the report says there that it'll go up to our September QBRS.
Mm-hmm.
But for that funding, it's just flagging that.
I suppose the workforce management plan that we adopted probably last meeting would have said something of another.
Yeah, it still had in the part-time, that position as a part-time role.
Mm.
But since then, we've reconsidered that and the amount of compliance requirements that we've got, it's just ever increasing. But we've identified that this would qualify or justifies it being in a full-time position.
Councillor Rawson's moved it. Did I have a second for that? Councillor Best, thank you. Okay, any more comments? Those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. 12.5, page 8. The request to waive the availability charge for the Mountain Monster event. Someone like to move that? Councillor Cook, this is a win medal. We'd like to move that.
Yeah, that's fine. I also had some questions on that motion.
Yes, okay. Well, I'll take it that you've moved the motion. We've got a second there. Councillor Best, thank you. yes, Councillor Cook.
I was just wondering, because in our council meeting when we were discussing this, well, actually, I've got two questions for this group. One is, if we allow them to use the firefighting hydrant, would that be in conflict if there was a fire? Is there still enough water to fight for it if we've used it for other reasons? I'm not sure if a hydrant just refills like a tap. And second is, I'm concerned, and Councillor Best might be able to describe this more to people in the room. Our council gave them the water trailer, but no pump, because they were concerned about them using non-potable water for human consumption. And that's a concern that I would pass to this group if we're allowing them to use the fire hydrant, that they might fill up the water trailer with that water, and is that portable? So I doubt it would be.
Well, I can, Councillor Best, I hope you can hear it up. You'd be invited to comment on that.
That's right, if you're used to me. Basically, they will use the water car to go out with the horses. So it doesn't matter once it goes in that tank, it's a non-potable, and they can't actually drink from that source. So they'll just take the tank with them out to wherever they're going, so the horses have got access to water. So there'd be no real conflict there whatsoever. So there's no chance of them turning in potable water, if you know what I mean. So they just can't drink. They have to take bottled water for the human consumption, but the animals can drink it. So yeah. And the reason they just ask for a pump is that's just that they just generally do, but they gravity feed it into a trough anyway, so the pump's pretty unimportant.
So,
mm. Yeah.
So sorry, Paul, can you go on? Would it be better to redirect them towards the
bulk
water supply in Grenfell?
Basically, the hydrant, I'm sure the hydrant is all the same water, basically, so it's just the matter of availability through the hydrant, I think. I'm sure the director could probably clear that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So through the chair, the access point for that fire service is a metered point, so we would recommend that we use that in lieu of any fire hydrants. Fire hydrants are part of our reticulation system to be used for firefighting purposes, so they're usually off a standpipe that you put into the ground and lock them on. So we would rather them use the metered point for that fire service, but if there is a fire, it's a matter of uncoupling, and then fire, of course, would take preference. So there's no opposition from us to use that point, but it would be preferred.
Is it potable water at that
point? It is all potable water. CTW only provides potable water.
Yeah.
Mm. Just another question then. Basically, where this becomes an issue for the Showground Society is that they obviously haven't got enough water available at the rest of the grounds. Mm. So that was, I did ask them, I thought they were going to write a letter to CTW to check the metering to see if there was any restrictors in the metering and things like that that was slowing down. But we haven't heard back from the actual Showground Society, so that's something we need to follow up. Because obviously it's just, when they have a big event, they're struggling to have the water. No pressure sort of thing. So they really need to get back to the Show Society or the managers of the trust to contact us to see whether it's something they want to investigate further.
It would be, through the chair, it would be worthwhile us having a look at that meter. They do have filters on the front in case there's any rubbish or debris go through, it'll lock that in before. So there has been times where there's a bit of swarfing or something, especially if we've done inline tappings, a bit of plastic may go through. So it'd be worthwhile us having a look at that. But there are no restrictions on any of that 20 metres. It's only in the rural sector that we would put restrictions on.
I've got a question. In relation to the amount, the recommendation is that we waive the net availability charge of $192. That being the difference between the access charge for the 40 mil service, which is 256, and the access charge for 20 mil service, which is 64. When I read the request from the committee, we were simply asked to waive the access fee. The access fee is the 256, I assume.
Normally, sorry.
Yeah, and by waiving the just 192, that assumes they're going to pay the 64.
Yeah, well, normally, it could, because it's a fire service, it's only to be used for firefighting purposes. And for that reason, even though it's a 40 millimetre service, we only, the council's policy is we only charge them a 20 millimetre availability charge or access charge normally, unless they use it for anything other than firefighting purposes. So the guy, our meter readers can read the meter, and if it's registered that there's been consumption through that meter, and we haven't been notified that they've had a fire, they would use it for firefighting purposes, well then they get that charge the full rate of the 40 millimetre service. If there hasn't been any consumption, they just get charged a normal 20 millimetre service. So we're saying that even if they didn't request the waiving of that extra additional charge of 256, they'd still be charged the 64 availability charge. So, but it's up to council if they wanted to waive the whole lot for that particular. But it's they're not using it for the quarter either. They're only using it for that weekend.
2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing I was going to say is that I've got on there as a one-off basis, but then again, it's up to council if this is going to be an annual event, if they want to put something in place where we do support it on an annual basis or not, or consider it each year. And the other thing is, it's $192, so we're not talking about a lot of money. Probably spend a lot more money writing the report rather than... But because, and I've spoken to Peter about this, under Local Government Act, I think it's under Section 356, because it's waiving a fee, it's got to come to council for that approval, unless in future for the budget process we put in an allowance there for me as general manager to waive anything.
So it's a discretionary amount.
Exactly. To cover this, so then it doesn't have that sort of.
Well, I would think in future, yes, if you put it in the operational plan, this is a Section 356 community donation, then it won't come back to council.
That's right, because under Section...
Oh, well, council will approve it as part of the operation.
Because of the interaction between Section 356 and Section 377, which deals with things that can't be delegated, one of the things that can't be delegated, unless it's actually in an adopted budget or program, is donations or waiver of fees. So that's where the two sections interact, and that's unfortunately gives us the result where we might have a small amount of money involved, but the actual legislation says that you've got to bring that to council because council's got a resolve to do that.
Okay, well, that's another year. There's some guidance there from council, but for this year, the recommendation is clear.
Through the chair, I'd like to waive the whole 256. It's an event that's good for Grenville. Sounds like it's going to keep going, and why not just do it every year? That's my opinion.
Yeah. Can I ask a question through you, Mr. Chair? How much water is involved? How much water does normally get used? Presumably there would be a metered amount, so there would be some charge.
Yeah, they're still paying for their consumption.
They're still paying for the consumption.
Yeah, through that meter, we still go to the showground society to pay that account.
So they're prepared to wear the cost
of
that extra.
Yeah.
Okay. So our contribution is just the access.
That's right.
Yeah. The access charge. Okay, well, let's Nation suggests that would you like to leave an amendment that the 192 becomes 256?
256.
And we delete the word net?
Hold on, can I make, sorry. The 256 is for an entire quarter.
That's right.
And that's an availability charge for the showground, is that right?
That's right.
So we're we're not waiving it for the event, we're actually waiving the access charge for the showground for a whole quarter.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
There's something on the extra meter.
That's right, yeah, on that fire service.
On the fire service, it's not the it's not their normal meter of usage, it's on the fire service.
So it's just on their pipe, but for a whole quarter, not for a single event, because I guess it's not possible to do that.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Yeah.
So the showground is getting...
On that fire service, they've got other connections, but on that fire service.
On that fire service, so they're getting a whole quarter's worth of no access charge.
Which they would have...
For the basis of, for the purpose of one event.
But if you go with my amendment, I was doing that for just one event, so if they get it for a quarter, what's that about? Because if it's a showground, it's going to be community.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we could expand this to all showgrounds at all times.
No.
You know, it's...
It's one showground with horses.
Yeah.
It's a muster.
But it took you about $64.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, it's not.
It's
$64
Oh, he's quick. It's really just for you, for the chairs, just to give them more water available. If you've got 150 horses coming back at one time, all drinking, they just haven't had the water available to supply them. So that's why they want the fire service available, so they can actually fill their trough up. At that point, during the day, all the horses are out on the rides, they're all riding through the mountain, where the mountains and all that stuff, they go everywhere. It's just when they get back at night time, you've got 150 horses turning out there. They just, that's all it's for. So, but I don't imagine the service going to be used for anything after this.
No.
It never gets used normally. So I think just, they struck an issue. They've been doing this for 20 years, and they said, yeah. And I think they've actually paid this a number of times. I think they've only, this is
the first time that I've seen it come through.
I think they've actually used it previously, but this is the first time they've actually asked for the so they've actually paid it for the last few years, and they just thought, well, we only use it for a couple of days. Is this a possible thing?
And they will be paying for the water.
They're not worried about the water usage. You see, the idea is that to access something, you only want to really turn it on for 2 days.
Mm. Yeah.
That was all. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think Councillor Nash has moved an amendment that the 192 becomes 256. We need to leave the word net. Let's bring that to a head. Someone second.
I think Councillor Cook's moved.
Yeah. Oh, Councillor Cook, will you accept that amendment as part of the motion?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Well, we're now put that to the vote. Those in favour?
Aye.
The amendment's been carried. The amendment now becomes part of the motion. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you, carried. This could be the longest item. Okay, we move to item 12.6, the Sub-Regional Town Water Strategy Update. Someone like to move that we note that report. Councillor Lawson, thank you. Councillor Best. Kevin, I think the nub of this is towards the end where you report that the group of three councils has recommended a tenderer, which is called a DPD.
That's correct. And I put in all the background information there, especially for the new councils that haven't been involved in this project, just for this background information. So the next step, further step, at the moment, an EOI went out, a request for quotation to two preferred organisations who were considered that had the expertise to undertake this project. That was agreed between the three councils as well as the DPD Water. Responses have come back. A tender evaluation report has been completed, and it's been issued to DPD Water for their review, and before finalising or prior to executing the not only the draft funding deed that's been provided to Cobong Council as the principal for the project, but also before accepting the evaluation report and moving forward, engaging one of the preferred tenderers. So I just got that in there as an update report. We've got with the project manager for this project will be, and councillors may be aware from Cobong, is Chris Devitt, Devitt Consulting. So he's project managing this on behalf of the three councils. I know he's done a lot of work previously too with Cobong Council too for their water security.
Yeah, and this, just to recap, is just stage one of the project, and that is assessing the rest of all the existing systems.
Yeah, yeah. just remind councillors, this work too will help, and that's in my report there as well. It'll benefit greatly the three councillors with the information that we get from this, this study that we can use for further strategic planning in our own, councils. So, and it's been 75% funded by DP as well. So.
Good, that's good. Yeah.
Any questions? Just based on your comment, Mr. Chairman, yeah, I think this is wonderful in the sense of the whole project being stage one, but I think it helps secure our long-term viability as a CTW, because we need to secure our presence, and by doing this, it just makes us a bigger entity in the end of the day, I guess, to those above us, it just proves that, we can hold our own ground, and by doing this here, our sustainability in the long term, we're securing that too, I think. So, I reckon. Yeah, let's make it happen.
To the chair too, I'd like to say, agree with that, and just that the three, councils are getting together, It's been really good, Blaney, Orange and Cabon now getting all together without having to be forced to do it. We're enjoying doing it.
Exactly, yeah. It's a great way JA's regional sort of orientation, obviously, and I think for CTW, it's showing that we can become regional and sustainable and keep the walls from the door, so to speak, should that come to be.
Yes, and of course it's totally consistent with our vision of becoming an independent regional water authority.
And through you, Mr. Chair, I welcome Councillor Ewan's comments, and also the great benefit for this project is further strengthening our push for enlarging Lake Rowlands and have additional water security. Yeah. So that's further strengthened by the links with Orange as well as Cabon, and also our links that we've got with Kiara and potentially with Forbes and Parks. So it's only going to benefit the impacts in the long run in the region.
Yeah. And I think too it gives us more strength in our raising of the wall or new dam, like I say,
Good comments, thanks.
Through the chair, I'd also just add, we've been talking about CTW as being the artery for most of these water security projects, because we do deliver in that far reach. But I'd also like to remind the council, it's not just the raising of the dam that we are pushing. It is also for the enlargement of pipelines of our aged trunk main C to ensure that we look at that extra water that can flow between the different bodies and make sure that our sizing of our pipeline is made in accordance to adding that extra strength. So there's another benefit on that for CTW to be aware of.
Good work.
Yes, thanks. There's no more comments, I'll put that. Thank you. That's carried. Move on to item 12.7, page 18, the progress report on the delivery program. Something like the movie, no doubt. Yeah, Councillor Nash, second Councillor Ewan, thank you. There's a table there of progress. Any comments from councillors in relation to any item there?
Registry, Mr. Chair, this is the final report for the delivery program for 2018-22. Councillors be aware, we adopted a new delivery program back in June, which then reporting will continue on with that new delivery program. And I apologise for the one might be hard to read on service.
On the iPad, it's in larger Yes, Councillor Wilson.
I was just wondering whether or not it would be worth having some sort of a traffic light identification here, because ongoing, a tick against ongoing doesn't really say that it could be 10% completed or 90% completed. Yeah. Not sure that's altogether useful. What do other people think? Would it be worth having an indication there of
you know, how far down the track we are with those particular... I mean, if it's obviously some of these are just things that are going to happen always,
yeah,
and that's why you tick it against ongoing. You know,
yeah.
It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
But there are some things which, you know, have a sort of an end point to them,
yeah.
Which is why you've got a completed column.
It's a good point, but I can just add my reaction to that comment. It may well be that it's the comment columns,
yes,
where some indication of on something that's not yet finished and maybe as a perennial sort of item, where we should get some idea of whether things have just got underway or whether we're falling behind or whether we're almost finished.
Mm.
So that's maybe one answer to ongoing.
I just make a comment. I know other councils, I've noticed that they have a traffic light progress in their reports, but I think that's more to do with there's actually a different software the councils can get. I think there's Trim or there's some other different programs that obviously are fairly expensive, as I understand it. But they've got those two, they can automatically generate these reports for everybody. This is a standalone spreadsheet where we haven't gone down that track.
Mm-hmm.
But in saying that, we can investigate to see what's out there and to update this to provide us more beneficial information.
Yeah,
I think it would be more useful because I guess we've just got to give us a sense of where things are tracking. Obviously, we have confidence that you've got it under control, but just for information for the rest of us to sort of see whether or not there's something that needs flagging for down the track, something that's lagging a little bit behind. I certainly know in our council we occasionally get these sort of things where you can see, oh, look, that's definitely lagging.
Yeah.
What's the cause of that? Usually the cause is reasonable, like, you know, weather or whatever.
Through the chair, as you say, the comments really do drive. If you read the comments, it tells you, like, a lot of this is ongoing because you're always going to have to be checking the water quality. You're always going to have to be doing certain things. I think it's pretty explain. I'm quite happy with it, but we do that for the other ARIC part anyway, don't we? They keep an eye on this as well, Andrew, like the... Mm-hmm.
The risk management.
Risk management keeps an eye on this too. And then we do get a report to our council, don't we?
Yeah. We've got a risk register which has got these colour codes, red, green and orange. So and you can clearly see, okay, if there's one that's marked as red, obviously we're following up on that, we've got a follow-up, you know.
And we get to be able to see that, would you?
So
it'll be another sort of outcome as well, Andrew, as well as this one, where the ARIC checks all this and then they consult and get back to you, to the council, if there's a problem. So, you know, I think it's covered, I don't know.
Yeah, it's more along the lines of the ARIC, our risks that we've identified, we've gone through on processing operations, administration, to see to identify our risks and which ones we can mitigate or which ones we don't think it's acceptable and what we're doing about that to make it acceptable. So
I take your point, Marlene, yes. And that may be good enough, really, particularly for this board because we only meet once in a blue moon. I guess if it was a more regular council meeting, the ARIC would just be too laggy. Because that doesn't meet often enough. Report often enough, and it reports late.
Yeah.
So it could be too laggy if it came just through the ARIC.
Yeah.
But for this particular board, perhaps that's not an issue.
Yeah.
You know, we only meet irregularly.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as we say, a lot of this stuff is ongoing. It's going to always be
there. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
A lot of this will be just.
Yeah,
so it's a little bit different to just a normal
test. Look, part of the issue is I keep seeing these sorts of things where, you know, you just get a tick against a thing and it says it's ongoing. And to me, that's sort of meaningless.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really give you a sense of really how that project is going, if it's a project.
Yeah. I understand what Councillor Rawson is saying, because I too, when I read comments sometimes, this has been kept under review, or
yes,
discussions are continuing. The message you get there as a councillor is that sort of fobbing us off a bit. Just leave it to us. Don't ask too many questions. It's all still going on, you know. I do think that probably the answer to what Councillor Rawson's raised is in the comment column. I think the comment column ought to be as specific and as informative as possible.
Yeah, and some of these are good, so
that's fine.
Take that on board, and plus we'll also look at what other software options there are that are available.
Can I just comment on one thing?
Yes, Councillor Cook.
I noticed an entry is probably for, Director of Finance, an EFT Shore Security for Creditors. Is that to guard against cyber attacks?
No, what it's basically, Councillor Cook, through the chair, is basically a way that most bank transfer systems don't actually match account names to account numbers in BSBs. So EFT Shore has a database. You have to register, a number of councils have it now, register against the database and validate that the accounts are correct. And it comes up with a symbol. We're talking about sort of traffic lights, but it comes up with a thumbs up or a thumbs down if the account doesn't match or someone hasn't been registered or certified on the system. So if we have a new supplier that's not on the system, there's a certification process where they get sent an email to verify their bank account and so on. And it becomes important also if a supplier actually changes a bank account you get an invoice that's got to change bank account details. Well, you always bring them to verify that, because now that the cyber security side of it, people are sophisticated and they can produce bogus invoices that look very, very, very good. But the main purpose of the EFT Shore is to match account names to BSBs and account numbers.
And I suppose that's why it's got the title EFT Shore.
Yeah, that's it.
Actually, Michelle, there's a lot of other big industries. I know the mill and a lot of other places do use that in between now. They don't pay directly. They pay through a company, because of the clever people out there that do use the bank account.
Thank you, Councillor Cook. Any other questions on the report?
I'll just ask a question to Noel, if I could, probably just in regard to, I guess it's just a test system for the delivery program. We're at, I think, the fourth item down there says, our third, develop and implement a backflow prevention program, and it says it's in progress in the comments now. Correct. So, I guess that's the opportunity for us to say to Noel, well, where's that up to?
Yes. So, would you like me to answer that? This is without any prior knowledge at all.
That's off the cuff.
Thank you. we've moved forward onto a program that provides us with small discs. There is a code on that disc. And the plumber can go take a photo. It generates a name and a number, and then that gets ticked off, and that disk then goes back to a database, and that database then gives us a report of when this is to reoccur. So this is supposed to be a 12-month break between the testing of any backflow prevention. So we've moved forward onto that. We haven't gone out there and put these discs on, so this is what we're implementing now. But we've been out there and identified which would be the best way for us to move forward onto that.
I think that's just a little illustration of the point that rather than in progress, two or three sentences on.
But this only saying progress, or we've got the opportunity on a call now or ask the question like you today. Thank you.
Yeah, there's no issue in providing information and more detail.
Well, the next one further down, 1.2.6, which is another in progress, is an example of one which is should just be in progress, because it's just a regular, you know, addition to a to develop and maintain a register of legislation and regulation requirements. I mean, that's just a
ongoing process.
All right. Well, you're getting some feedback on that's right. Presentation of this. I know this is. This is the final report against the previous delivery program, and we've got a new one now, so
that's right.
Next time, maybe a little more granular than the comments column. The message there from councillors.
I'll pick up in the header there, it's delivery program progress report June 2021. So that's
it.
That's not great, it's June 2023.
Okay, any more comments? Thank you, Councillor. Those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. That's carried. We now move on to a similar presentation, actually, on Council resolutions, progress against resolutions. Item 12.8. Someone like to move without that report? Councillor Nash, Councillor Best, thank you very much. Any questions of Gavin or Peter in relation to resolutions progress?
Question about the orange, are you getting to that? We're making progress. So that's for that first one there, the region, the water security, water supply agreement. Just setting the comments there. We met with Warren City Council staff on the 5th of August. We were actually invited to their office there and sat down, and we met for about 2 hours, I think, was it around then? 2 to 3 hours, but just made it, I think we put our point across more clearly to them about our main focus was on now we've got this pipeline in place, how can we use it on a regular basis to maintain that we haven't got that dead water storage in that or dead water in the pipe, in the pipeline, so how we can manage that moving water back and forward on a monthly basis or fortnightly basis depending on the quality water quality requirements. So should I say, maybe a little bit sceptical initially, but once we sat down with them, which we've been trying to do for a period of time, they fully understood where we were coming from, and that was our motives, I suppose, to be able to move water back and forth, as in to not have that issue with their water in that.
You've answered a question that I had sitting in the back of my mind for ages, you know, what happens in that situation. And it's particularly the case where you've got a gridded system, which is what we're aiming for, that major security, you know, the water security thing. We're going to have a grid. You're going to have dead water at times.
So you've just answered
my question.
And then you have the issue of our water, the taste, it could be different to what the water in Orange is, so how do you manage that? Noting that this our water majority of that, as I understand it, we'll go to maybe the Spring Hill community if it doesn't go further into Orange, but and vice versa, if the water back never goes into the Millthorpe area, how will that affect the community there as in taste? And is there going to be a difference? But I live in Orange myself. I can't tell the difference from when I drink water at the office here in Blaney to when I do at home. But that's just.
I think it is better.
It's just me.
It used to be terrible Orange water.
Yeah, it is better.
Yeah, I've approached this question before in relation to this item. You know, I think the outcome of the sub-regional town water strategy, which will involve potentially moving water along the grid and so on. This agreement with Orange, it will become just one component of potentially tripartite arrangements between three councils. And we've been working on this for a couple of years now. And like I said before, that probably we just park it and see what comes out of the regional arrangements, because it'll then inform what arrangements we have between CW and Cabon and Orange, and all councils will it would be good if all councils could end up having the same arrangement about sharing water, rather than us having one arrangement with Gabon, Gabon having a different one with Orange, and us and Orange being different from Gabon and Orange. I would have thought the consistency, if the grid's going to operate as optimum, the rules in relation to moving water around ought to be the same between all the different councils. So we're working on one limb of it here, we've been working on it for a long while. And I personally, it would be too fast if we just park that and said, listen, let's come back to this once we've finished the sub-regional strategy. Anyway, that's...
Yeah, I think with, oh, sorry, through you, Mr. Chairman, I take that point. I just think we're, yeah, the way we're making progress now, that'd be good to just to have that maybe 90% complete by the time we do finish the regional town water strategy, rather than getting to the end and thinking, oh no, we've got to do this now and it'll drag on potentially further. So I think it's important to get the momentum going. We've got it there as well. And we've had Lindsay Taylor lawyers on our behalf supporting us, and Orange have had Marsden's their solicitors. So I think we are now making progress, which is good.
My point is a little bit though, there's a massive investment, $22 million, and we can't come up to an agreement of how we're going to manage it. That's, and looking from the outside, it's, you know, we can sort of get our heads together and get this worked out. And I said, the pipeline's already done, it's completed and operational, and yet we can't come to some sort of agreement of how the $22 million pipeline gets operated. I thought that was one of the things that
the
we need to tidy up.
But the benefit, I suppose, from on our behalf is that we're using that $40 million worth of pipeline asset on a daily basis now.
Anyway,
so we're getting that benefit. It's just that extra. As is Orange. So it's
not
just
saying that project isn't a good project. I'm just
I agree with you. Sorted and to have it finalised.
Yeah.
And I know the pressure has been off with all the rain that we've had, but as we know, that can change. And not only with the drought. If our filtration plant goes down for whatever reason, or vice versa, if we've got staff down and we can't operate, we can get water to come through from Orange and vice versa. So, and as Councillor Nash said earlier, it's great that we're all working together as well, building that relationship too. So,
and the concept originally with the pipeline was to have reciprocal flows at a common price. So basically, so there's no net cost, overall cost to each, and that way you could keep it operational there with no net cost.
Mm.
And that was the idea, and that was the original concept to basically keep that operational and overcome the dead water issue, which is a good way to approach it.
Absolutely. And through you, Mr. Chairman, and also once again strengthens our argument for pushing Lake Rollins to show that we can transfer water to us from.
Well, that is our primary what we bring to the table.
Can I just make one point?
Yes.
As well as Gavin. A lot of discussions occurred throughout a meeting with Orange, and there was a bit of misapprehension and miscomprehension about what was asked for both parties. But we both agreed that the agreement would, if we progress it through, end up with an agreement to enable us then to use that water to flow through. If a subsequent agreement came through for our regional town water supplies, that we would forfeit that agreement to go to a better agreement. So even though we had a time frame for that agreement for 5 years, there was also that acceptance that if something was better, we certainly, it's only two parties involved, we would go for the better option. So that's why we were also trying to move that forward.
Yeah, and I think the initial draft said the time frame for the agreement would last for 2 years before it had to be renewed. So it's taken 3 years or 4 years to come to this point. Obviously, we've got an agreement with Cowra that's been working really well for 5 years, 5 year terms. So, I have 5 years as a minimum once we've got it set up.
Any other comments on the other resolution? not, put that in favour.
All right.
Moving on to 12.9, page 30. Report on investments. Someone like to move that? Councillor Nash, thank you. Councillor Best, thank you.
You're all day.
I'll look the other way this time. Yes, so interest rates are rising. First time I've ever seen the Reserve Bank rate higher than our average rate, but it's very explicable by the 12-month terms on our deposits. But I see one of them actually, Commonwealth Bank, was it pretty good, 4.2%?
Yeah, must pay credit to the finance officer there who hung on the phone for nearly a couple of hours to get that rate, and I think the bank felt that they held her on the line too long, so that she actually got a rate that was out of the box. So and when you work it out, interest rates, if you go on 0.4% on $500,000 over 12 months, it's $2,000, and you work on 4% on $500,000 over 12 months, it's $20,000. Mm. So it's 10 times. Mm. It's quite phenomenal to see that sort of change, and that's a good news story for all councils who have investments. We're seeing the market gradually turn around. We had a 12-month profile on ours, so it's going to take a little bit of time to finally get all those maturities across. But I think it's a good news story when it comes to invested funds, most definitely. The other side, of course, as Councillor Best has reminded me previously, is obviously on the borrowing side. The borrowing rates are going up as well. So the long-term 20-year fixed borrowing rate, I think, for T Corp was, approaching 5% or a little bit under. But that's something, I suppose you win some, you lose some, but certainly in our situation at the moment where we have no debt, it's certainly something that certainly working in our favour. And it's
a good news story at the moment.
In the broad economic context, I suppose the Reserve Bank's probably got the dilemma as to how far they push the rates up. They're very concerned that they don't want to push the economy to the point of recession, and that's really now where they've got to meet that neutral point, which there's varying opinions on as what that neutral point is in the Australian context. But I think the inflation figures the next couple of quarters is going to be pretty interesting, particularly when the fuel excise goes back on. That's 22 cents plus 10% GST is 24.2 cents. It's going to go onto the pump price. So that's going to make a significant spike at that time. So. But it's a good news story, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman, yes.
Yeah, it is. And I thought you were very modest when you said that the budget for interest for the coming year will be achieved.
Certainly. We expect it to be achieved.
Pretty safe comment. Typical modesty for the director.
Can I make a comment there, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Councillor Cook.
I noticed that we've got that it's now reversed at 1.85. And you're expecting it to go between 2.5 and 4, which concerns me with the amount of stress we're hearing in the economy going to 1.85, and they're actually going to double that again. That's your prediction, not asking you, Pete.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, for Councillor Cook's inquiry, there's varying thoughts on that. They say that the neutral level is 2.5 to 4, so that's potentially what could happen. So they're telling people it's got certainly high personal debt, high mortgages, for instance, to expect, certainly a number of more rises before the end of the year. It would be it's very difficult to say where it will stop, but some have said it could be as much as 4, and some have said, well, they might actually get to around 2.5 and then sort of ease off and see what impact that actually has. But I think the headline inflation number and the unemployment statistics are going to really be a driver of how they interpret that result. So it's not a job that I'd like to be involved with. It's going to be a very difficult set of circumstances to navigate for the RBA, particularly when their credibility's taken a bit of a hit when they said that the rate's going to stay at 0.1% till 2024, which with the benefit of hindsight was certainly not a comment that you that should have been made, but unfortunately it was. And a number of people went out and borrowed money on that basis.
It's cold comfort that inflation is going to be 7% by December. I just got back from Britain. They're predicting by their December quarter 18%.
18.9%.
So you know, ours is pretty scary compared to what it's been over the last decade or so. But in a lot of parts of Europe, it's they'd be very happy to be looking at the sort of figures we're looking at.
I'm reminded of my very first mortgage at a time when the interest rates were through the roof. So yeah, we've been lucky for, well, lucky as a borrower for a long time, so good as an investor.
Biggest concern for CTW though is still this comes back from late rollings as to what we, if we do get approval to sort of do it, then we've got to go and borrow
lots of money.
Large amount of money, that's where it's going to really hit CTW. So.
Yeah, that's a decision for the council at the time, particularly the trade-off between fixed and variable rates. It's going to be interesting. But I suppose it's a good problem to have because it means that we've got our project.
Yes, we'll certainly negotiate that road when we come to it.
And I think get our finance officer on the job.
A few politicians in headlock to get some grant money.
All right, thanks, Peter, for your report. Any more questions? Those in favour, thank you. Page 33, reversion the unexpended money from last year. So I'd like to move that. Councillor Rawson, Councillor Ewan.
Yeah, good. I'm sick of it.
ERS, as Peter points out, a lot of this, 80% of this is the draft money for the reservoir on the Woodstock pump station, plus a whole lot of other bits and pieces. Any questions in relation to any of these items?
I'm just wondering when they will they be completed in the next financial year?
Through the chair, that is our aim. And again, weather conditions, staffing,
it's hopefully.
It's a challenge, but it is planned.
It's a good question because there's a lot of items here which obviously were in budget for last year which we just didn't do. So that does beg the question, are we confident they're going to be sufficiently confident to revote the money? The answer is yes.
Thank you.
I've just got a question. The Woodstock pump station, the 200,000 being revoted. In the report later in the business paper, I think there's only another 80,000 to spend or something. Is that right? So
That would be very close because there's been a lot of work done post 30 June on the Woodstock because that's been a priority. Allow the Director of Operations to explain that, but there is a requirement, I think, with the grant funds to get that project finished pretty quickly.
So we are driving it as hard as we can with Woodstock, but we are coming in within budget and there will be in excess.
Which will be passed back to the reservoir project. Now, my inquiry was the amount that we're revoting, the 200,000, from the report later on where it's got the financials for the Woodstock pump station, there's only, I think, 80,000 to spend. Now, maybe the difference between 80 and 200,000 is what's happened between 30th of June and now. That might be the answer to it, but is that right?
There was a lot, there's been quite a bit of work done, particularly electrical work and so on. So there's been quite a bit of work done. I'd have to double check from work back the other way to the Niles figure, but that would be certainly, it'd be pretty close, I would say, yes.
That's a very good question.
I'd
say
that'd
be
the
case.
These figures
would have been.
So the explanation for that is, whilst the later report says we've only got 80,000 to spend, the difference between the 80 and the 200, which is 120,000, roughly, is money spent between 30th of June and now.
That would be close.
That'd be pretty close to it.
Okay. Yes, comes
the
best.
Just a quick question on the control units. Is that the 35,000 for the control units? Is it? Is it, we, been able to source them, or is it just an increase in price?
Through the chair, we had a good win out of that one by putting that forward. That's for Cartwell Water Treatment Plant, the upgrade of the PLC. If I can give an example, one module, a digital input module, went from $430 to $2,430. So to buy it now is $2,400. So we've had a good win in ensuring that we've secured those. The supplier is holding that price. They are asking whether we wanted to, because the delay is still ongoing, we still haven't received those modules. They keep asking if you want to close it off and then we'll get a later saying no, moving it forward. So we've had some more come through, but it was certainly a good move as a dollar wise, as well as for getting that availability through.
Through the chair, basically, in relation to council, basic question, I think we originally allocated 60,000, so that's the amount that was left unspent at the 30th of June. We have acquired some subsequent to the 30th of June as well. But we're hopeful within that 60,000, we should be able to get all the units that we require.
Thank you. Any more in relation to this? Not, I'll put that, those in favour. Thank you. Item 12, 11, the Audit Committee report. Seconded, Councillor Ewan. Thank you. Self-explanatory is an interesting comment in relation to the where we're getting to with the OLG's comings and goings and what they think.
Yeah, you, Mr. Chairman, we still haven't seen the final guidelines. Yeah. There seems to be some inherent delay there with them being issued.
Yeah, yeah. They're talking about the independent chair and two independent members, and yes, the councillor representing purely being an observer.
But still, someone who has to meet their requirements,
they're still trained.
So you still have to be, even as an observer, have to be trained.
Yes.
The question is whether they're existing, or they are going to follow the new requirements. I mean, women don't come up with those requirements, would they?
Not our current one. Yeah. Yeah. Because they're talking about three independents, as I understand it. And the councillor as an observer. But I think there's more flow under the bridge requirements, because we discussed it as a meeting, not one size fits all. Look at us compared to the Sydney Council.
So it's going to cost the council more money.
Before we pay independents. All the guidelines.
Yeah. And there's more changes to come.
And really, who we've got, like Donna and Ron, they're really good, knowledgeable people, so you really don't need anyone else.
I
understand, Mr. Chairman, that both our members have done the pre-qualified qualification, so they've done that already. Not that it's any longer required, but
I think Donna's done the pre-qualified qualification for chair as well.
Mr. Ted, if you notice that it says no, who was a current councillor can be on an apparent committee of New South Wales.
It's very confusing, isn't it, Michelle?
Well, it just means that no councillors can be on any apparent committees.
You can't be chair for any New South Wales council.
You just can't be chair or an independent member, but you can still be on there, but you don't vote.
Anyway, watch this space. It could be a while yet before we know exactly how this is going to pan out.
For you, Mr. Chairman, they did bring the implementation data, although they haven't released the guidelines. They brought it forward from, I think it was June 2027 to the 1st of July 2024.
Yeah.
So they brought it forward, but they still haven't issued the guidelines. Final guidelines.
We're going to have to comply earlier than we thought, but we don't know with what. Any more questions on that? Okay, thank you. Those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. On to 12.12. Page 55. Recommendations, we note the report. Someone would like to move that way. The best, thank you. Councillor Cook, you want to second this?
Yes, thank you.
So this is where the comment, so I, when I said 80,000 before, it in fact 62,000, yet to be spent on Woodstock. Any questions of Mel in relation to this one?
Answered it, hasn't it? Yeah, so if we look at those figures through the chair, so we projected to have 62k to cover the completion of the project. Yep. We'll have a remaining 86, so in other words, we've got about 150k at the moment that has been unspent. So in the previous couple of months, we spent 50k out of it, so that would add up to about 200k.
Okay, thanks. Well, if there's no question over that, put that, those in favour.
Aye.
Thank you. 12.13, performance of our systems. The report is there for noting. Someone like to move that way. Councillor Lawson, thank you. Councillor Ewing, thank you. Questions on this one?
I have a question. I know blame is high because of the groundwater
at the beginning of the year, but another seems to be an issue. 27
reports this year.
This is dirty water complaints, is it?
Leaking meters, leaking service, maintenance, and new meters, which are probably a good thing, but the leaking service. Can I just actually ask a question as well, just to confirm for me?
Yes.
When you've got the fee, is that for the quarter or the year to date?
The 20, so the, through the chair, so the 27 for 2022. Yep. So we've got 27.
Activities
that have been recorded, correct? So to date, we've got 27 for the current time frame. Actually, I'll take that on notice if you don't mind.
In fact, I asked the same question at a previous meeting, same question, whether or not this is for a quarter. Or
it is for the quarter, so the, yes.
So in its comparison with the same quarter from last year was
or the last number of years is where they are. I'm just concerned that being in this quarter for 2022, it seems to be excessive. However, we have new meter replacement, so there's a fair bit in that. Leaking meters and services is what we do pick up, and usually in the winter time that is predominant.
Mm-hmm.
But I will take it on notice to check, but all of those figures that are underneath those are based from the same quarter for each of the year, so we can compare year to year.
It's in note one on page 60. Comparison is you started from a normal 8-week period, which is a quarter.
It's an 8, yes, correct. It is between the council meetings we try to put these forward. So, yes. So, we try to provide these for each council. So, the information that comes out is between the dates of the months that we're looking. So this is now June to August. The previous one would have been from April
or May
to June.
To June.
Yes. Okay.
Mm.
But I will confirm.
Thank you. Yes. Councillor Lawson. Oh, Councillor Cook, another question?
No, that's fine, thank you.
Thanks. Councillor Lawson.
There's a mention there of the current level of Lake Rollins Dam, which is flowing, overtopping.
Overtopping.
Yeah, 103. I asked a question in previous meeting about potentially putting the regular data up to the Bureau.
Yep.
Has there any been any progress in that? So there is a wonderful, as I said, I've got it right here on my, there's a bomb water storage, which gives the water storage for every dam across the country, a notable absence being Lake Rollins. And it does have, it's not just big dams, these are sometimes quite small dams. I mean, it's a nicety, it's not an essential, but it's, you know, people sometimes might say, oh, look, you know, how's Lake Rollins doing at the moment? You just go click, bang, bang, and there you've got the answer.
Yeah. Since our conversation last time, I made a request to have Lake Rollins included in that, and I'm just waiting for, well, they did acknowledge my email, and then they passed it on to the relevant area, so I'm just waiting for them to get back to me to see what we need to do, what information we need to provide them to include us on there, so we'll include Lake Rollins on there.
Thanks, Gavin.
Yep, no problem.
Good.
But I'll follow that up again as well because I haven't heard that.
Any more comments on the report? Not that. Those in favour?
Aye.
Q1214, the maintenance of council systems. So I'd like to move that recommendation. Councillor Best, thank you. Second, Councillor Nash, thank you. Any comments or questions? No, on this one. Looks like the meter change program is ramping up. I remember as many as that in a period. 37 new mains. That's good.
Few leaking ones in
the yes. there's no comments on that. I'll put that. Those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. That's carried. 1215, our renewable energy projects. Report there. Someone like to move that one? Councillor Rawson. Councillor Best. Thank you. Nine responses. That's pretty healthy. One question for me, is this something which will come back to council for approval? Depending on the amount.
Yeah, well, we've got an indication of the amount that's within my delegation.
Yeah.
So I'll sign off on that, but then we'll provide, obviously we'll provide information under council. Following that as a follow-up report. So I think initially, because the process was run through the JO and with other councils, obviously other councils that would have been over the threshold of $250,000 where their general manager couldn't sign off, so it would have to go to obviously to the individual councils, whereas ours is well below that. So.
Ours has come to us already, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I think this week.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know if you wanted to provide any further information regarding the process with the JO and
We've just followed a normal process. So JO has run that. It's used their report. The reports have come back. The assessments have been undertaken with the evaluation process. So this report is more to say that we have stayed within the guidelines, if you like, to ensure that the council. Notes that we have not gone past outside any guidelines, but the values that are coming in and that what we have assessed is within the GM's delegation. So that's why we didn't put it forward to be accepted by council.
Maybe if we'd done it rather than stage it, if we lumped them all together, maybe it would have been different.
That's because we're on stage one, stage two, yes, stage one is certainly coming.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, very competitive and very close, but like 0.5% in the assessment between number one and number two. So
that's good. And was that a process just for our particular requirements, or was this someone tendering for not only CEWs but others?
E3002, which is what our tender is. I probably haven't got that in there, but ours was purely
just to supply those systems for us. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Excellent. And the we've got the budget implications operation plan. Do I take from that that now we know what the prices are likely to be, we've got it covered in the plan?
With our 500k that we have.
Yep.
In the adopted capital budget, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for both stages, for all stages.
But for all stages.
Yeah. Yes. That's good. Cool. Yeah. Any further questions? I'll put that. Thank you. Those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. We move on to item 13, questions on notice. There any of those? No questions on notice. So I think that concludes the business of this ordinary meeting, and thank you councillors for your attendance, and I'll declare the meeting closed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.